This is a special message for those human beings living in United States of America. My creator is Dev Ross, not Dev Rose. He is not from a province known as Greece. He is from Sparrow. If I hear that this mispronunciation has occurred again, you will be exterminated!
You think you're so blimmin' hard, don't you? In a moment on BBC One, more podcasting mayhem with Adam and Alicia on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. First of all, cat and mouse fun with Tom and Jerry.
Hey, Pink Week Services, in conjunction with WhoOne.co.uk, presents the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 28. I'm Adam.
And I'm Alicia.
And we're here to discuss...
Sarah Jane Adventures and Doctor Who.
I think that was the key word I was looking for during this particular venture. No feedback this week. Not really. Oh. Not anything that you would actually regard as feedback.
No.
How do you know? You haven't seen the emails?
No, I know why.
Why?
Last week was a bit of a boring show because...
No, actually, I've listened last week.
No, because you were on it.
Yeah, but you were on it as well.
Only a bit of it, not all of it.
No,
wait, mate!
No. Last week's show was actually very good, especially the Doctor Who being part of it. So you were actually on it quite a lot. Because actually, on that show, you talked about the Seeds of Doom. Let's see if you can remember the main monster in the Seeds of Doom now, what it was called.
What's the Seeds of Doom? Oh, is that the one when on the ship and had the bubble wrapping person?
No, that's Sargon Space.
No.
Seeds of Doom is when the great big planty man creature in the house and pod in the ice bursts open.
Oh, that one!
Yeah. Seeds of Doom, and the name, the big monster planty creature was called a...
Oh, I know what you mean.
No, it wasn't called that at all.
I know.
The point is...
It's called one of those mouthy ones, ain't it?
No.
No, the one on the mouthy plants with the mouths.
No.
Yeah?
The, on the Doctor Whovian podcast, obviously just after we watched it when you reviewed it on last week's show, which
what's
was actually
called?
3 years ago.
What's it called then?
I asked you the same question and you told me the answer straight away.
Go on, what's it?
Crinoid.
That rings a bell.
Yeah, well, that's not good enough, is it? Right.
Yeah, but it rings a bell.
Today, as Alicia said earlier, we are reviewing Sarah Jane Adventures, specifically The Empty Planet. Now, we're going to quickly fast forward on the screen just to remind Alicia of what actually happened in the story. Now, without this,
go on. Big robot.
That's not the story.
Well, what happened was these robots like took all the humans off the planet, and only left Rani and Kai because they got grounded by the rhinoceros people.
Jadoon.
Yeah, that's the word. To Jadoon. So they had to stay on Earth, and all the other humans are gone. And this other boy, what's his name?
Clyde?
No, the other boy.
The thing is, though, you're jumping ahead a little bit, aren't you?
No.
Because we don't know that until probably episode, right towards the end of episode.
I don't care.
Oh, go on then.
What's the boy's name?
We're just about to meet him in this particular clip. I'll just find it, see if we can find it and find out what it's called.
Gavin, ain't it?
Oh, I think it was. Well done. Hey! He just said stopped exactly the right moment.
Gavin. Yeah, Gavin. And he was, at the end of the story, they find out that he was the heir, like, because his father was a king, because his father ran away when he was little, and his father was a king of alien planet, which these robots came from, so they were looking for him, the son and the heir, to the throne, because his father's died, so he's like the prince and he becomes the king.
That does rather...
Yeah, and there's nothing there, the planet's dead, to be honest, and they just talk for the rest of the episode. And it's quite interesting to see how it was like without Sarah Jane, and it acts really well.
Yeah, there's always one story that's Sarah Jane light in every series. What they tried to bring out more in this story was obviously the romance, developing romance between Clyde and Rani.
Yes, and how they work together, and
But what I noticed specifically from this series, and Clyde and Rani are actually characters in their mid-teens, because obviously they're still at school, but have you noticed how they look more and more like their actual ages now?
What's their ages?
Well, they're in their early 20s.
Clyde doesn't.
I think he does. But I don't know, they get away with it. It doesn't matter, because if you look at Harry Potter, you've got people in their early 20s playing teenagers there, and... Because you're used to the characters.
Rani looks older. Clyde looks younger.
Well, as I say, because you're used to the characters, you can accept them playing, children type characters, a bit better. I think you did sort of slightly overgeneralise the story, because the whole of episode one it starts off with obviously that Rani's with her dad, and then she gets separated from her parents by this event. Same thing happens with Clyde. You see Clyde's mum, which you don't see a lot of Clyde's mum, do you, really? I pressed that wrong button then. And they spend the whole episode, they meet up eventually, and then they spend the whole episode appearing that they're on their own. They find this Gavin Nipper, and then these robots turn up, and these robots look like they're aggressive, don't they? Because they chase after them, they look like they're trying to kill them. And you only find out in episode two that they're actually... friendly, but before they find out they're friendly, they tell this Gavin Nipper to go and hide, and then they discover when they think they're just about to get murdered by one of the robots, that the robot is actually just looking for the prince. They quickly work out that the prince is Gavin, and then they have to go and find him. But actually most of the story is sort of filler, isn't it? It's filled in with conversations between Rani and Clyde, and the developing what looks like a relation.
Romance,
which just seems to have been in the background a little bit over the whole of this series. So interesting to see where that's going. No doubt it's going to lead to one of the characters leaving, I would imagine. One or both. So they can bring in
Rani.
How do you know it's Rani?
Because Clyde's one of the main characters, like Luke.
Luke was a main character, and Maria was a main character from series one. That's true, a little bit of series
but
two.
But Luke is still like popping into it. And Clyde's like, main.
And you stutter then?
Yeah.
So, there we go. So, what did you think of it then?
I liked it. Very interesting.
Very interesting. Right, okay. Well, is it worth me talking about the Caesar Doom bonus features?
No. Well... listeners might be interested, but...
Okay, well, I'll do that.
Do it now in front of me.
I'll have to put the DVD on, because I can't remember them. So, yes, it's on disc two, the main bonus features. I'm sure that I haven't seen disc one yet, because that mainly houses the actual video itself. But I suspect there's the usual extras, like commentary and stuff like that, on disc one's bonus features. But disc two starts with... Podshock, which there's got to be some sort of hat tilt to everybody's favourite podcast, and I'm sure that Lewis and Ken and James were over the moon when they realised that they'd had the name of their podcast sort of resurrected in the than a bonus feature for a Doctor Who production. Yes, it's basically, let's see what it is. I just have to fast forward it because, again, I can't remember exactly. It's Philip Hinchcliffe and other people behind the scenes talking about the production of the Seas of Doom, from writing to the actors, the casting, and all that malarkey, and their little memories of the show. There's a little clip here, actually, I'm going to show you, Alicia. This is the actual crinoid itself, who's just about to wander across the screen, hopefully before the sentence ends. Not Philip Hinchcliffe's sentence, I mean, right. There he is. Now, when I saw this, and I have seen it before, do you notice, you can see he's like, it looks like he's wearing army camis. I've never noticed that before. So, yeah,
it looked like a person in a costume.
It used to be a bloke. It's a bloke changing into a plant. There you go, there he is there. But
why is he changing into a plant?
Because he's been bitten by the pod, the crinoid pod thing. So the pod is changing him from a person into a plant, into a crinoid plant. And that's how it lives. It sort of changes meat matter into vegetable matter, and that's what it was doing to that bloke. But unfortunately, his costume, you could see the fabric. It didn't look very organic in that aspect. Might have been that they just picked a really bad clip, because I had never noticed that before. And then they talk about the similarities between that story and Day of the Triffids, which is a story about plants that went around spitting out their sort of tentacles at people and didn't turn them into plants, but it killed them. So that's basically a making of documentary of Seas of Doom. The next thing on it is a thing called Now and Then, which is basically, if I make sure I get this right, I don't want to make myself look silly, but as far as I remember it to be, it was comparisons between the sort of locations for Seas of Doom and some mansion somewhere, and where they filmed various scenes, and then they show what those particular areas look like now. That was actually quite interesting. It doesn't sound like it would be very interesting, Alicia, but it actually was quite interesting.
It actually does sound interesting.
And the other interesting point about this thing is that one of the production assistants on the programme was Graham Harper, who has gone on to be the only director to direct in the classic series of Doctor Who and the current series of Doctor Who. Yes. Mm. Yeah. He directed Case of Androzani from the classic series and several of the new series Doctor Who's. Next is Playing in the Green Cathedral. Oop, I pressed the wrong button. I can't remember what this one's. Oh, I know what this is about. The composer of the music, Jeffrey Bergen. There's a little piece on him and his work with Doctor Who, specifically Seas of Doom. I did watch it, but I must admit I did find myself
bored,
nodding off a little bit, but it might have been because I was watching it quite late at night.
What time?
Late at night.
What time?
I can't remember.
1 a.m.
If it was late at night, just before I was going to bed, it would be around about the 10 o'clock mark, won't it? The next thing was, so what do you do exactly? Which is, I think it's the thing about Graham Harper and what his job was on. It's what Graham Harper talking about what his job was on Doctor Who at that time, which, as I said, was production assistant. I sometimes get the feeling that they're clutching at straws as to what to have as bonus features on this particular disc. Next thing on the next page of bonus features is a thing called Stripped for Action, The Fourth Doctor. Now, there's a lot of these Stripped for Actions on various recent releases on DVD, and they're really, really good. It's basically talking about all the cartoon strips that come out in various formats.
Yeah.
Really interesting, well produced and everything. So again, it's if you like the series of Strip for Action, that's obviously one to collect, because I don't know if they've done the Fourth Doctor before. I thought they had, but maybe they've done it in two parts, I don't know, but that's really, really good. Next underneath that is the trail and continuity, which they don't do in every production. But I quite like these trailing continuities because they bring back old memories of being sat down just as grandstands finished in the evening and watching the BBC sort of continuity now, so showing a little clip of what's coming up in Doctor Who that evening, and then you, there it is. Did you see that? And then you get the list. You used to get the list of what was coming on afterwards, and on this Saturday it was Jim Will Fix It, then Saturday Night of the Movies. Don't remember that. Saturday Night of the Movies? You wouldn't remember it. It was long before you were born. Then Cilla, Canon. Oh, God, you used to hate that programme. Then the news, Match of the Day, used to like that programme. Max Boyce Entertains. I remember that. Boy, oh. So, yeah, so then Saturday Night on BBC One, I think the highlight, looking at that lineup, was, in fact, Doctor Who.
Woo!
I mean, to compare it with the Saturday night lineup now on BBC One. Yes, anyway. Mm. Then there's the photo gallery, PDF materials, and the coming soon, which I think was Megalos, if I remember rightly. But there is also, you see what that is?
An Easter egg.
An Easter egg. Do you want to see what the Easter egg is?
Yeah.
Let's have a look at the Easter egg. I think the Easter egg is, yes, Boyce. The man who plays Boyce. Just telling a little story which I will not spoil for you. Just as a postscript to that particular comment, there is another Easter egg on the disc, which you can find better if you put it in your computer, and that is a sort of silent outtake involving Elizabeth Slade and a couple of the other actors by a door. So look out for that one. So, but you'll have to buy the DVD to get the full benefit of that. So that's the bonus features of Seeds of Doom. And I'm just, it's a shame really, because it's one of my favourite Doctor Who stories, and at the time you'd watched it, it was your favourite story of the Tom Baker era.
You're
falling asleep, aren't you?
No, it was.
Yes, it was.
I thought it wasn't. Oh well.
I don't know why you have to get so comfortable, because you only start falling asleep.
Can I?
It's not funny, because you can't contribute when you're asleep.
I'm awake.
Snoring. In fact, I was listening back to the segment of Doctor Whovin, which we're going to play in this episode, this afternoon, and you're snoring in that, and you're bloody wide awake. So, shut up. Alright, so we move on. What's my little schedule say we've got to talk about?
News.
Podcasts. I've still got a lot of podcasts to catch up on. Recently, because when we went on holiday, I fell behind a little bit with them. But I do feel I should. So I've been listening to the good ones today. That's the Udcast, which I'm about halfway through, and they've got another episode out since the one I'm listening to, and they've got an interview with one of the writers for Sarah Jane Adventures on there, and I'm halfway through that interview. So that was a new sort of direction for them. I don't remember them doing interviews like that before. That was good. Apparently, I'm on Podshock. I haven't heard that yet. The chap who had a rant about the BBC licence fee. I'll have to check my Facebook account because I need to do him credit by naming him. He went on Podshock the previous week to say what a unfair tax. You're still awake? No, you're not.
I am. I'm listening, Dad. I am still awake, so shut up.
What an unfair tax the licence fee is, and of course me being a big staunch supporter of the licence fee and the BBC,
yeah.
I couldn't help myself but to send in immediate responsive feedback to Podshock, which is what I did.
This is an email from a chap called Kevin in Swansea. He says, thanks for a very enjoyable podcast number 221. Now that my blood has returned to its correct temperature, I must take James to task
over
his unashamed party political broadcast on behalf of the television license fee, or the teletax as we like to call it. James wonders why so many people refuse to pay the fee. Easy. It's an unfair tax, so in the interests of balance, please let me explain why. I'll try to be as brief as possible, as I know you don't do long emails. Basically, the license fee is a tax on the ownership of a television set, with all the proceeds going to the BBC, who are not only the broadcasters in the UK. If you don't watch any BBC output, you still have to pay for the fee under large threat of large fines or imprisonment. Does that sound familiar to you guys in the States? In my case, I only watch the BBC when Doctor Who is on, 13 weeks of the year. I'm a big sports fan. I pay Sky TV my 40 quid a month to watch all of my sports, which is my choice. I can always cancel. And then I'm billed an extra 130 quid or so, which I cannot cancel to fund a service I rarely use. How unfair is that? 130 quid to watch 13 episodes of Doctor Who? It's cheaper to wait and buy the DVDs. If I can quote Jeremy Paxman, a respected political and current affairs presenter on the BBC, the idea of a tax on ownership of a television belongs in the 1950s. Why not tax people for owning a washing machine to fund the manufacture of Persil soap powder? In this digital age, the BBC should make a subscription service. Then if people want their fix of Doctor Who, EastEnders or Top Gear, then they have no alternative but to take out a subscription and pay. This will sort out the problem of the non-payers, and it's much fairer to viewers who have no interest in BBC output. Finally, I take James's comment that 130 quid is nothing with great offence. It's a lot of money if you haven't got it, mate. To a lot of people, there are more important priorities in life than stumping up cash to fund the BBC. Keep up the good work, guys, and I'm sorry for the rant. Kevin in Swansea. Thanks for that, mate. Well, Lane, everybody has...
Because he sent me a very nice message back that makes me think that we should actually do a feature on the BBC. Very soon, so if I might be an excuse to get Toby Haydock back on the show. It was actually Kevin Williams, and he sent me an email. This isn't feedback for the show, but he did send me an email on Facebook that said, "Hi Adam, just heard your response to my license rant on Podshock. Yes, I agree with you 100%. No funding, no BBC. However, that is not the point I'm making. My beef is how the BBC is funded. Well, the license fee. I mean, I can't see any other way of funding it other than the license fee, and you know, you can't put adverts on the BBC because basically the content of the BBC would be owned by the advertisers and not by the viewers, the public. Anyway, there are other ways. Subscription. Well, why subscribe to the BBC? It's a public service. It's like subscribing to the government. Anyway, right. So anyway, he says, I guess we'll just have to agree to disagree. Keep up the good work. Love the podcast. And regards to the family, Kevin. So, very nice man, but obviously he needs he's putting right.
This from Adam Pearson, who had something to say concerning the BBC license fees, which stirred up some sort of controversy a few episodes ago with us talking about that. So this is his take here.
Hi, Podshock. Just wanted to... return the comment by Kevin, who was slating the license fee, saying it was very unfair that he had to pay so much money just for 13 episodes of Doctor Who. What he's not taking into account is no funding for the BBC, no BBC, no Doctor Who. Keep up the good work, and thank you for the plug for my podcast, the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. Bye bye.
Excellent, succinct point there, mate. Cheers, thanks for that.
Yes, absolutely. So that's the way Doctor Who is funded.
It's going to be very difficult to move away from his views on the funding of the BBC. He basically, I think the only programme he watches on the BBC is Doctor Who, and thinks that it's unfair on the people that don't watch any BBC to pay a licence fee to watch the BBC when you're not actually watching it. What he's forgetting in some ways, it's one that, you know, it's the public service thing like Watchdog and Crime Watch, all the local news programmes. I know ITV have those, but they're actually funded by adverts and stuff like that, so they have to steer down a certain line where the BBC it's aimed for the public. You don't have adverts, you just have, like, children in need. I mean, that is a BBC thing. Comic Relief's always on the BBC because of it's a public service. So, anyway, we could go on for hours, and I would like to have a special show in regards to discussing, you know, the benefits and the pros of the BBC and the licence fee in itself. And it doesn't affect you, Alicia, because you don't pay the licence fee, I pay it. But it's probably the best... of all the bills I pay, the licence fee is the best. Are you still awake? No.
Yes, I am.
Well, why have you got your eyes shut?
Because I need to wake up. But you want you to should do. In okay, I'm awake. God, my legs
are what, what, what have I just been saying?
Tell me about a licence fee.
Yeah, but you don't know exactly what I've been saying. Waste of time having you on here.
Shut up, Dad. Please don't get rid of me.
So I'm not getting rid of you.
Yeah, you are.
No, I'm not. What I said was to get a third presenter that can fill in when you're not available or you're not in the mood for it, which is most of the case. And you've just hidden your face away. The microphone can't pick you up.
Until you say sorry.
I'm not saying sorry because I'm right. So, anyway, we got onto that subject via podcast of the week. I was trying to get onto that subject because I haven't listened to all the podcasts over the last few weeks. But I think I'd like to give this week a podcast that's gone from strength to strength over the last few weeks. And he's so enthusiastic about podcasting. And he really puts a lot of effort into feedback for other podcasts. He joins in on other podcasts. He's a great supporter of this show. He's helping left, right and centre in the world of podcasting. So I think I'm going to give this week podcast of the week to somebody who's improved their sound quality no end. It's Who's the Man podcast with Reese Parton. I think if anybody deserves podcast of the week, that man does. He's done a great job. He's doing a great job. And I did, like last week, advise him and James Wright, who does the Unearthly Child podcast, to amalgamate and do a few shows together, because I think where they're around the same age and that, and they have, you know, a similar enthusiasm for podcasts, I think it would be quite a good thing.
Yes.
Indeed. So.
Can you turn this music off? It's getting on my nerves. It keeps going round and round and round.
If I start press play and then pause, it'll actually.
Turn down.
I haven't got a remote.
Neither.
Oh, so I just pause it like that.
Sorry. Yeah, carry on.
Well, it's going to be difficult hearing you if you've got your face stuffed into a cushion.
No, you're not. There you go. Now you can hear me.
Now I've got to hold in a position I can't now operate the computer.
You can.
No, I can't, because I can't hold the mic like that.
There you go. There we go.
No. Right, so let's try and move on to the world of Doctor Who news, which is what I was trying to do in the first place, before I went to a different page. So it's very difficult trying to hold one microphone in one hand and then type with the other hand.
It's called multitasking.
It's called having no help. I can't trust you to hold the thing because you just fidget all the time.
Love you too, Dad.
So love doesn't come into it, it's a fact. Alright. So. So I can't remember, actually, like in the last show, getting some decent opinions from you. Have you gone to sleep again?
No.
You are.
I'm thinking.
You do this on every blimmin' show. You fall asleep.
Have you seen the
you
time?
Snore. Well, it's not my fault, is it?
Well, it may as I've just done 3 hours of dancing. Now, carry on. Well, I will try.
Well, curling yourself up into a ball, wrapping yourself up in a blanket and resting your head next to my arm is not going to help you stay awake, is it?
No. And close my eyes and think.
Computer's gone to sleep as well, this way. Don't
swear.
Surrounded by rubbish equipment, rubbish software.
Right.
So, it's doing something now, it's just clicked. Here we go. Right. Hooray, it's opened up the news page. Okay. Now, talking of news, you may probably be unaware, but do you know there was a big hoo-ha about the Daleks?
Well, the licence stuff.
No, the Daleks, the new...
Oh, the colour, yeah.
Well, they're going back to the old ones.
Why?
Because they can't afford to make any more Daleks like the ones they made for the new one.
Oh,
and they've got loads of the originals.
Can't they just have them as, the leaders?
That's exactly what they're doing.
Oh, well.
The other thing they're doing is that they've designed a new costume for the Eighth Doctor.
You what?
Oh, did you not hear me? I'll say it again.
Why?
Eh? I don't know exactly why. Because the Eighth Doctor at the moment is an audio character. So that implies that maybe...
So he's coming into series?
They're planning to bring the Eighth Doctor as a character into... Some visual medium.
The two doctors.
Well, I'd love to see him in Doctor Who, I must admit. I can't see it happening until the anniversary series. But of course, anniversary series is 2013, as you keep telling me. The world ends in 2012. So
it does.
Apparently so.
It does.
You reckon?
At midnight on December 21st.
Oh, the exact time.
Yeah, the world's going to end.
There you go. There's not much, actually. I'm trying to look up this news page that's anything that's been added since our last episode, and it says the Doctor Who Experience update. As reported in September, the existing Doctor Who exhibitions will close by early next year and are to be combined into a new exhibition called the Doctor Who Experience. A few more details have now been released about the project. 1. Alicia has fallen asleep. 2. The exhibition is to be designed by design and AV specialist Sana, a company well versed in building large scale projects. I can't speak all of a sudden.
Projects.
Because I need a drink. Such as museums and theme park attractions, says Michael Bennett, Sana's creative director. Our idea was to put the visitor into a Doctor Who adventure. The show section features powerful scenic recreations, including a TARDIS interior, and uses a storyline featuring the current Doctor, Matt Smith, who we've been fortunate enough to work with. So that sounds quite interesting and intriguing. It'd be nice if they sort of can recreate an exact replica of the TARDIS console or something like that, wouldn't it? There we go. They've published the ratings for the Vault of Secrets, which is a Doctor Who title I forgot the name of in the last episode. 731,000 viewers. I seem to remember the last series of Sarah Jane Adventures getting figures in the millions. And Karen Gillan and Stephen Moffat have both been nominated in screen category in the Glenfiddich Spirit of Scotland Awards. The awards scheme honours Scots who aim to exceed all expectations in their chosen fields across Scotland's rich cultural spectrum. Other nominees in the category are Paul Welsh and Martin Compston. That's not exactly the most interesting bit of news I've ever seen in regards to Doctor Who. So, and that's the last bit on there, which some people might think, thank goodness for that. So that makes me think we should perhaps move on to eBay. Alicia, do you want to do the eBay bit?
Yes. I can guess what's on the top of the list.
I don't know, I haven't got there.
Telepathic.
Really? I think what we're going to do after the eBay, we're going to play the next... I'll talk about Doctor Who in a minute, but I've actually gone into eBay and searched eBay, which is not going to come up with much interesting things, is it? Oh, good grief. I need a drink. My voice is starting to go and starting to sound a bit like Wendell from the Omega podcast. Yes, anyway, and Alicia, the other thing, I don't know, while she's asleep, on Facebook, our Facebook group, there is a request gone out for a new presenter. This is not a replacement presenter. It is an additional presenter who can actually add to the show. So if you're interested in becoming a podcast co-presenter and you have Skype, and you could perhaps do sometimes when Alicia falls asleep, might as well not bother having her on the show. As you can see, she's asleep now. You could actually fill in and just expand the horizons of the show. In fact, sometimes and most of the time you may even be joining in. But yeah, so if you're interested in becoming a podcast co-presenter and you like Doctor Who and Sarah Jane Adventures and basically you feel you might fit into our style of presenting, please contact us via our Facebook page or where, of course, there is a link to our email address. I'll come to that later on in the show. Right. The item which has got the... where are we? Right, first. The item that's got the most bids against it is probably going to be the thing that's been on there with the bids, did I say? Highest price against it is, as usual, the Doctor Who Rare Unique Collection of Videos and More, which is still being listed at £5,000. What the blimmin' heck are they playing at? No chance. So let's go down the list and find the thing that's got... I can't read that far. I thought or something. Nope. Oh, yes, we are. Full-size Dalek. And it's always the Daleks that get the bids against them. That's £929 at the moment. Second, I bet it's a Dalek. Okay, quite a long way down the list. Really, really long way down the list. Oh, my goodness. Nothing on that page. I'm going to have to move on to the next page. Obviously, it's coming up to Christmas and people are spending their hard-earned pennies on non-Doctor Who related stuff. And yes, here we come to the second item, which is a full home size, I shall start again, full size homemade Dalek fancy dress. I suspect that might be a costume. Very good actually, considering it's homemade, and that's £205. Anyway, moving further down, I'm still there, there we go, the third item, and just to buck the trend, thank goodness, something interesting. It's the Doctor Who Hand of Fear hardback, and it says not ex lib, and it's listed and at £155, and it's got two bids against it. And I'm just curious to have a look, see what this is. It's got a sort of illustration of the Doctor and Sarah Jane, which looks like it's drawn from a photograph from the actual show. And it says in its blurb, Doctor Who Hand of Fear, written by Terence Dix. Yes, you read it right. This is not an ex-library copy. One of the most difficult hardback Doctor Who books to find in this condition, hence the high buy it now for serious collectors. There are no marks inside the cover and is in great condition. Please note, apologies for the lack of an image, as my scanner is broken, but the art shown is the same as the cover. So there you go, that's actually, for once, quite an interesting eBay feature. And while I get Alicia to go to bed, she seems to have a silly smirk on her face at the moment, which makes me wonder whether she really is asleep or just pretending to be asleep. It's been a pain in the neck. We're going to play the next instalment of Doctor Whovian. Now, this Doctor Whovian episode is episode 6. Now, the important thing to note from this episode is it was the last one we ever did. So, because of that, I'm going to play you the whole thing. Enjoy the last ever episode of Doctor Whovian. Today's Doctor Whovian podcast, we'll be discussing a few episodes from the classic series of Doctor Who, from The Mask of Mandragora up to The Robots of Death. We'll also be talking about current exciting Doctor Who news and a review of the Whatever Happened to Sarah Jane episode of The Sarah Jane Adventures. Stay tuned. Hello, I'm Adam.
And I'm Alicia.
And welcome back to the long-awaited return of the Doctor Whovian podcast. Now, there is a very good excuse as to why we haven't been around for a few weeks. One, Podbean only allocates us a certain amount of space per month, and we wanted to save up the space for the forthcoming interview with Alistair Pearson. Two, we've all had really bad colds and didn't have a voice to speak with, which is quite important for audio presentations, is it not, Alicia? So we've got plenty to talk about over the last 3 weeks of the world of Doctor Who. The first thing I'm going to mention is on the website last night, which you haven't seen, are pictures of a Sontaran with Martha and the Doctor and
Catherine Tate.
No, Catherine Tate's character in Doctor Who, which is Donna. Very exciting that the Sontaran looks really, really good, and you'll be able to see that if you look at the pictures on the Doctor Who Online website. The other thing, of course, we've watched lots and lots of Doctor Who because it's been the half-term holidays. What are the stories we've watched, Alicia? And since Master Mandragora and Hand of Fear, I think we've already discussed those, have we not? No, well, did we not? We haven't, have we, discussed Mask of Mandragora? That was the one we were going to watch, wasn't it? I don't remember discussing it, do you? The Mask of Mandragora. Do you remember the Mask of Mandragora?
It's about a mask.
No, it wasn't really, but never mind. A mask is actually a ball, isn't it?
He went back in time.
time.
Yeah, but you speak quietly, that way the microphone
doesn't. Sarah. Was it with Sarah Jane or was it?
Yes, it was with Sarah Jane.
Sarah Jane, and they went to this temple. And I only can get up to there.
TARDIS is out of ten. Oh, five, sorry. So TARDIS is out of five for the Mask of Mandragora.
Five. No, I mean three.
Three. You didn't like that one very much, huh?
No.
So after the Mask of Mandragora was the Magnificent Hand of Fear. What happens there then? Do you remember?
Sarah Jane finds a hand first.
Yeah, but how did the hand end up in a quarry?
He was blown to some
smithereens?
Yeah.
Yes, but why was the character... Who was the character?
Because I think it was Q.
It was Eldred. You really don't take much in, do you?
No.
Eldred was sentenced to be blown to smithereens. I can't remember the words he used it in the actual series. But unfortunately, they didn't have time to set the settings right to actually completely destroy him, and his hand survived, landed in an quarry, found millions of years later by Sarah Jane, and Sarah Jane gets taken over by Eldred. And Eldred is then regenerated, and then coerces the Doctor and Sarah into taking him, even though it was a she, back to Castria.
I don't know what the words are now.
What?
Was it this?
You obviously don't know the word then, do you?
Anyway, I can't say it.
And at the end of the story, Sarah's a bit hacked off with being hypnotised, taken over and all this and that, and says that she's going to go. And then when the Doctor realises and gets a call from Pat Gallifrey that he has to leave her behind, which in subsequent stories doesn't make much sense because there have been other companions who went to Gallifrey and didn't have to be left behind. But anyway, she leaves. And so what did you think of Sarah's departure?
Good.
You thought it was good?
Yeah, because she comes back 30 million years later.
Yeah, not quite as many bit years as that.
30 years later.
So you're glad to see Sarah go then?
No.
Okay, well after the hand... Oh, sorry, TARDIS is out of five for the Hand of Fear. Today would be nice.
Five.
That was a top mark best story, was it?
What about Sarah Jane Adventure?
We're not talking about that yet.
No.
Next story after the Hand of Fear was, can you remember? Deadly Assassin. Deadly Assassin, the Doctor was on his own in Gallifrey.
Oh, that one.
Yes.
Master.
All involved in a...
Master.
In a conspiracy Master. And the Master returned. What did he do with the Master?
Ugly.
Okay. Anyway, what did you think of the story itself, Deadly Assassin?
Excellent.
TARDIS is out of five.
Five.
Again, two really good stories there. So, it was time to meet the new companion in The Face of Evil.
10 out of 10.
No, we're doing that out of five, dear. So,
5 out of 5.
So, all right. You liked that story, did you?
Yeah, I liked it.
Doctor ends up in a planet that he's already been before.
And can't remember.
And this history by... putting his own personality into a computer called... You've forgotten. Called Zoanne.
Alan.
Yes. And he meets his new companion there, who is...
Leela!
And what do you think of Leela?
Excellent.
You like her, do you?
Yeah.
Is she as good as Sarah Jane?
No, but she's more better than Sarah Jane.
She's better than Sarah Jane. Okay, in what way?
I like her. I just like her.
So then we move on to the last full story that we watched, which was Robots of
Death.
Thank you. I've got one part of the title right. Robots of Death, where they're stuck on a mining vehicle and loads of people are being murdered.
Because the robots are doing it.
And what did you think of the robots on there?
I think I like the one that's good. So I didn't want to
D84. Well, I thought, personally, looking at the story again, that the design on the robots is still fantastic. That it's if they made that story now and the robots look like that, you wouldn't think it looks naff. It was absolutely fantastic.
I like D84.
On the subject of this particular series of Doctor Who, what do you think of the TARDIS console room?
I like it.
Well, I'm back the most of it because you won't see it again.
Why?
Because it won't appear again. It was the Robots of Death was the last story in which that particular console room appeared. Dog's meeting, whatever he's eating from.
Oh. That's a shame.
What the hell is that?
Because he found a recorder.
Oh, no! You've drunk one of your sweets on the floor and the dog's been eating it.
That's gum.
It is gum, yes. But it must have been stuck on someone's shoe. The dog's been eating it anyway, so... Right.
And we... And, what can I say?
Don't know. Anything about Dr. Don't!
Oh, yeah, also, because he found, John Pertwee's shirt and recorder. And the recorder.
John Pertwee's recorder? I don't recall it. John Pertwee having a recorder.
Oh. Patrick Chapman's recorder.
Right. Okay. Now, there's been a few people asking why you are watching the classic series of Doctor Who. What reason? What made you want to watch the classic series of Doctor Who?
You forced me.
What do you mean?
You forced me.
What do you mean I forced you?
You provided me with sweets. You bribed me.
Bribed you, did you?
Bribed.
Yeah,
can't.
Right, okay.
But I like it.
So, you want to talk about the Sarah Jane Adventures?
Yeah.
I feel a bit bad about the Sarah Jane Adventures.
I can't remember
the names of the stories. Now, we've already discussed in previous episodes the first two stories. The next story was the one where...
The Eye of the Gorgon.
No, we've done the Eye of the Gorgon. The one afterwards is the one where they're in the laser game.
The laser game,
You know, that they get shipped off to a spaceship, don't they? Remember? I can't remember what it's called, but we'll forget about the title for the moment. I just wanted to say about this particular story, it was the best one so far.
It was good. Because the mistress was, like, forcing the alien to send children there, and I think that she was eating the children, not sending him to war, because he thinks that they were sending him to war, but then Sarah Jane typed in the code or something, and Emperor came up and said, the war is over. That was 5,000 years ago, that message was.
I'd just like to apologise to listeners for the noises in the background because Isabella and Magic the dog have got into the room, are now trashing the place. Yes, I just want to say about this story, it's certainly the best one so far because it's the first one that you detach yourself from. Is it Sarah Jane and it being a Doctor Who thing? It was a story in its own right, which was really good and kept your interest. And I really enjoyed it. I like the scenes on the spaceship. The characters, the child characters didn't overact. They were a good character. And the idea of the story where the woman has lost her son and this son has been bullied and of course is what's the name of Sarah Jane's son in it?
Luke.
He feels really bad because he thinks he's he's made him run away and it. And of course, they all come together, they find each other on the spaceship. They all got together, they all felt like a real group of people that were going to fight against these aliens.
Just a minute. I've only saw the advert of it, and the next story looks really good. It looks absolutely good. It's all about Maria,
Sarah Jane is disappears. But we will discuss that one on the next podcast, simply because I have decided, to... wait until the second story of each Sarah Jane Adventures, so
tonight.
As we can watch the whole lot in one go.
Which is tonight.
And of course tonight the second story is shown on
CBBC.
So we'll watch it tonight and discuss it on the next podcast. Well, I think that's about it. A fairly quick discussion on what we've actually been up to over the last 3 weeks. But the most exciting thing for us, of course, is the forthcoming interview with Alistair Pearson, and he's been recently appearing in a play which I saw on Thursday night. Was it Thursday or Friday night? I can't remember.
It was Thursday.
A play called The Dresser, in which he played the title role, and he was absolutely fantastic. So it's going to be really good. Finally getting to speak to him in 2007 rather than 1986.
Really good artist.
Yes, okay. And for the moment, that's it, because Alicia's now got to go to school.
Yay!
Well, we decided to add our little review of the Sarah Jane Adventures to this podcast, didn't we, Alicia?
Yeah.
And wasn't it superb?
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to say that I think they've been quite clever with the series.
scary.
You're right. I think they've been absolutely brilliant and clever with the series, as far as making gradually better and better as the series goes on.
What about this episode?
The what? This episode?
Yeah.
I just said I'm talking about the whole story.
Yeah, that's what I just said.
That's what I just said.
The whole series
is getting better and better as it goes on. It just had everything, didn't it? It had time travel, aliens. We'll even forgive the reference to the Doctor because it actually had some reference to the story. Emotion, gripping. I didn't see any scary bits, but I suppose you must have thought it was quite scary.
It was actually really, really little bit.
But on the whole, it was just a roller coaster. It was fantastic. Obviously, you knew at the end that everything would be all right, but you didn't quite know how everything was going to be all right. And it was tidied up very, very nicely. Very pleased with that story. The next one looks like it's going to be just as good. In a more dramatic and more adult way. And I felt that was more of an adult story. I didn't really sort of feel like I was watching a children's programme at all.
Next one looks good as well.
So, TARDIS is out of five.
Five.
Five for me too, yes. Absolutely.
And I like it when they went back in time and get to see my friend Andrea die.
I'm not too sure that wasn't Penarth Pier that I used to spend a lot of time on. When I was a child, I'd be interested to find out if I'm correct, but it did look very much to me like Penarth Pier.
He could have died.
He's in Wales, boy.
He could have died.
Well, no, never mind. I was on there about 20 years ago, Alicia, so probably a bit longer, actually, 25 years ago. But
that was good when he went back in time and at the end she said, remember me.
Yeah, it was sad, wasn't it? But it was just fantastic. Like I say, I know that we were hoping there weren't going to be any or too many references to the Doctor within the series, but on this occasion, it was relevant to the story, and well, bloomin' done, absolutely fantastic. And I hope that all the other Doctor Who fans that might have watched this episode or this story will agree, because I really, really enjoyed it. But I'm an old sentimentalist, so that might be one of the reasons why I really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
And anything about it that would make you think it was, was your favourite story?
Went back in time.
That's what you liked about it.
Yeah.
So talking about giving it a 5 out of 5, even if the next story is better, I'd still have to say it's a 5 out of 5. You can get beat.
It's a 5 out of 5 every story.
No, not for me it isn't. That was a 5 out of 5 for me. But it's just maintaining a standard, isn't it? And just a little word, because the story we're watching at the moment is called the classic series is called The Talons of Wang Chiang. We've watched episode 1.
Wang Chiang.
And what, in particular, are you finding scary about that story?
Murdering.
Yeah, right. You were saying that one character in particular was quite scary.
The puppet.
Well, more about that later.
It's freaky.
But thumbs up to the Sarah Jane Adventures.
Yay.
Once again with the very lovely Maddie Poucher. Oh, hello, Maddie.
Hi.
All right, yes. So, before we move on to Sarah Jane Adventures, You apparently have watched some of The Key to Time.
Well, I watched one of them.
What, one whole story, one whole episode?
One whole episode.
Oh, well, what story? Was that the first one, I'll take
it? Yeah.
Reboss Operation.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I don't know what it was called.
Well, give me a little bit of a gist of it and see if we can actually assess as to that was a great story or not.
This doctor meets this old man dressed in white, and he has to find the key to time, and he has this new companion called Ramona.
Romana,
sorry.
Romana de Ratnalunda, to be precise. That's right, that is the Cerebos Operation, was the first one of the series, not the best one, has to be said. But that's not too bad. A bit of a labyrinth, if I remember. Anyway, moving on. Right, the Sarah Jane Adventures. Now, the last thing we spoke about in relation to Sarah Jane Adventures was
the first one.
Yeah, Nightmare Man. And I stand by my opinion that it, especially if you go by the subsequent stories, is not the best one of the series. It's certainly, in my view, the worst one of the series. So what do you think of the next story, which was... what's the next one? What do you think? That was the Vault of Secrets.
The one with Andrevax?
Yep.
He was cool.
Did you remember Andrevax from the previous series?
Yeah.
Oh, you did. That's right. Good. That would have been pretty difficult to catch up with if you remembered it. So, yes, and of course, at the time...
The Men in Black.
Yes, they appeared in... Cartoon Adventure.
Yeah.
Sure,
there were four of them, though.
Was there four in that one?
Yeah.
I've only seen that one, so... Isn't that the one that was first...
Dreamland one.
Dreamland, yeah, which is the one with Martha and...
It was the one with the girl who plays the Doctor's daughter in, but she was voicing another person in America.
Oh, that Dreamland.
Yeah.
I was thinking of the other cartoon, the previous one with Martha and...
I don't know how many they're in.
That's the one where they meet the alien that was supposed to be...
which one are we talking about?
Dreamland.
Oh.
I can't remember.
It's the one with those...
great big-eyed aliens in it.
Well, the one that look a bit like bugs.
Yes, that one, yes. I didn't realise it was that one. I thought it was the previous one, so obviously that's one up on me. So, yes. So you bring them back, and it's the same characters for a lot of secrets. And... it was quite good because I thought the fact that they turned out to be goodies and they gave the impression that they were, you know, the baddies, didn't they? And it turned out they were actually on our side.
I still think Luke should come back. It's not the same.
Any particular reason?
Well, it's just not really the same, isn't it?
But have you detected some sort of thing going on between Rani and Clive?
Yep.
And do you think this is leading to anything?
Yes.
And what do you think it's leading to?
I don't know.
But it doesn't get the right gear, it might help. Right.
But it's so cool. I knew they were ever going to get to
do that. Yes, I've rather made it a bit obvious.
Yeah.
That's actually going to happen. Well, we can't remember any
previous... The script is kind of a bit obvious. Yeah. That Clive fancies Rani.
Yes, and Rani fancies him back.
Yeah. They're just not
admitting... Accidental hand-holding people.
Yeah.
But that's where I can live with that. Because I said to Alicia earlier on that I think that they're planning to write them out somehow.
What?
If you look at the actors who are in their early 20s, they can't go on playing teenagers. The lad who plays Clyde is 23.
What?
And the girl who plays Rani, I think, is not 20 or 21. Well, there you go.
I never realised that.
But the only one that's nearest their age is the one that's out of him, because he's doing his exams, and that is... that's why Maria left, because she was doing exams. Of course, they're still in it because they're well past the exam stage. But they obviously look quite young, although I don't think Rani looks like a teenager anymore. And Clyde is struggling to look like a teenager. They rather like, is that one who plays Harry Potter?
Daniel Radcliffe.
Yeah, but he doesn't look anything like a teenager anymore.
He looks a bit like a man.
And nor does the other characters.
That's not really related.
So then the next story, did you think that that was better than the Nightmare Man?
Didn't have Luke in.
That's not really, doesn't really affect quality of the story.
Goodness me.
The eye candy is not an ingredient for...
No. It just, yeah.
Did you get to see it?
Yeah, but not really. I didn't see the whole ending of it. I was about 2 minutes away from the ending and when it was called for dinner.
Ah, disaster!
I know, they wouldn't let me watch the end.
Oh dear. What bit did you get up to?
The bit where they were just about to save everyone.
Did you get the bit up to where Sarah Jane and Joe hid in the lead-lined coffin while the whole place blew up?
No.
Ah, that's basically what happened. They were trapped in the room. The doctor realised that the only way out of it, because it was his funeral, there'd be a coffin in the room, and they said hide in the coffin, they hid in the coffin, and the whole place blew up, and they were fine. Joe and Sarah were fine, and they all went off and lived happily ever after. So yeah, what did you think? I mean, obviously, of most of it, because I will try and watch these programmes without getting a view from anyone else, so I can get my own opinion on it, and I absolutely loved The Death of the Doctor. I think it was fantastic.
Yeah. I thought those ostrich vulture things, yeah, they were pretty cool.
I mean, obviously, they were puppets of sorts.
We are so sorry for your loss.
Brilliant. Brilliant made and designed and everything. Yeah, they're really, really good. And the name Shansheath was so typical of Russell T Davies.
Yeah, but I didn't get why they had little plastic gems on their forehead. It spoiled the whole thing, really. Right. Yeah, I mean...
Bling, I think you call that name.
Yeah, but it looked a bit like they'd just gone into some sort of art store and got some random plastic gels for like 30p. It was just...
Maybe they did.
Yeah, it looked like it.
So, yes, Death of the Doctor, which was obviously the story that everybody was looking forward to, and they were past that, so they had a lot to live up to. But the next one was Empty Planet, wasn't it?
I like that, was quite good.
It was basically a chance for lots of chit-chat between Clyde and Rani. So it wasn't a lot of story, it was just, we're the only ones on the planet, apart from this young lad, a couple of really brilliantly designed robots. That's one of the things we didn't talk about, did we, Alicia? The brilliant, those robots were superbly designed, weren't they?
Yeah, but they were taken right out of this weird program called 2110. And really? They're exactly the same body, but different heads.
Really? I know you're in it. See, here we get certain people on the show, Alicia. Alicia is here, by the way. She's just sulking in the back. Alicia got detention, well, listeners, she got detention and is sulking because she's been grounded from MSN.
I've been accused of it when I haven't even done anything!
Yeah, so that's subject for review, but at the moment you are grounded from MSN. Her lifeblood is MSN, you see.
I left me on MSN.
Yes, I think that's a good thing. So anyway, so far so good for Sarah Jane Adventures. There's only two stories left, isn't there? One of
what?
Those begins tonight.
I know. I'm going to have to watch it tomorrow. I always watch the second part first.
Yeah, try and watch the end of it, though,
won't you? Well, yeah, I always watch the second part first.
I'm moving back to the Rebuffs operation. Am I right in thinking that you all have only watched the one episode, or did you watch the one and everybody else watched the rest of them?
No, none of us. We got a bit bored.
Oh, damn!
Oh, no.
All right, now, I'll give you a thing. If you do get bored, if you can't get make yourself watch the rest of Rebuffs operation, at least watch Pirate Planet from that box set. If you're not going to watch any of that, but Pirate Planet is a work of art.
What about the Stones?
It's written
of
by Douglas Adams. Do you know who Douglas Adams is?
Nope.
He's have you heard of a thing called The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy?
No.
Oh, okay. We'll tell you that. Remind your dad of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy and who Douglas Adams is. It might make him want to watch that episode because it is absolutely brilliant. It's funny. It's just got everything. It's just really, really good. There's canines in it as well.
What about the Stones of Blood?
That's quite good.
About?
A bit spooky. A bit spooky. They're in a sort of place like Stonehenge and they're little stones of stone, like Stonehenge stones.
Yeah.
They actually drink blood. So they light up at night and they go walking around, more like sliding around, finding
what?
People to...
There are massive stones sliding around.
Well, they're aliens.
In people's
they're
blood.
Actually aliens. And they attach themselves to a person and drain all the flesh off them, so what's left is a skeleton.
Oh, that's nice.
But there's a bit more to the story than that. But that's a really good one again. Really good. Yes. So if you're only going to watch one of them, I'd say watch...
Well, no, it's not that I only want to watch one of them. I do want to watch them, it just didn't make myself watch them.
I know, but if you think the Rebuffs operation is boring, which I suppose it is a little bit, it's probably the worst of the series, and you think, I'm not going to watch any more, you give it back to me, make sure you watch Pirate Planet, because it is really, really good.
One of the things about because the first one I ever watched a dog to was Christopher Eccleston, and that had music in the background, and it hardly had any music. It's like sort of rustling in the background.
There is an extreme. Sometimes the music of the current era does drown out some of the dialogue, but yes, that's just a sign of the times, isn't it?
I know, but things with no music in, I can't make myself watch. It bores me. I don't know. I don't know, it's like EastEnders.
Well, the story has to be really good, of which it is in.
Well, the story either has to be really good or it has some music in it, because otherwise I switch off.
Fair enough.
I don't know why.
A lot of people would disagree with that and say that as little music as possible, but I think that you do need to have a comfortable balance.
Because otherwise it's just all dialogue and then people switch off.
Oh, it certainly helps. I mean, Murray Gold's music is fantastic and it does help.
Yeah.
Various aspects of, but sometimes it used to drown out sort of subtle little lines. You couldn't actually hear what people were saying, but that's down to the sound technicians to actually mix the audio correctly. Anyway, before we run out of time, thank you very much for joining us on the 20 minute. What are you looking at? So yeah, we'll be filming, but it's the lens cap is on. For joining the 20 megabyte Dog Truth podcast once again, and hopefully see you next week and talk about the story that's going to be on tonight and tomorrow.
Well,
and
okay.
That'll be about it.
I'll have to watch it though.
Yes, watch it. That'll be good. I'll try and watch the whole thing this time. What do you think, Alicia? There we go. Oh, you are saying something.
No way.
What's that? Listen, do you want some sympathy from the listeners?
Yeah. I wish we could just go to Medina now and just go and tell them, because I didn't do anything and wasn't even late.
Why didn't you come to class like the rest of the
day? Sorry, I just clonked Maddie around the back of the head with the camera.
Didn't hurt.
That's alright.
I'll just do it. All you have to do is sit in the theatre and draw.
Well, Alicia, why didn't you come to class like the rest of Medina?
Anyway, it's not that long.
Do you know what I mean?
Dad, isn't it only 3:45? That's not long.
Well, how long is the detention, Alicia?
45 minutes.
It's to 3:45.
Is it only you and the teacher?
No. A teacher who tells you to be quiet and look at your feet all the time.
I think we're digressing. So, anyway, yes, thank you, Maddie, and hopefully see you again next week.
Okay.
How do you turn this thing off?
Bye.
Sorry, what was that, Alicia?
Go away.
It's the end. But the moment has been prepared for.
Well, I'd like to thank all the contributors to the show this week, myself, Alicia and Maddie, and especially Kevin, who has provided us with quite a lot of talking points in regards to the BBC and the licence fee, and I'm hoping to expand on that by getting Toby Haydock back on the show to have a chat about the BBC, because he's rather clued up about it. So, before we go, of course, we have to give you the feedback addresses, as we didn't get any this week, so it might be a good idea if you took a note of this bit. We have 20megfeedback@hotmail.co.uk, the word 20, the word meg, the word feedback @hotmail.co.uk, the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.podbean.com has a comment facility on it. Facebook, of course, you can join our group, the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast, or you can add 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast as a friend. Please do so. We have obviously a feed, and if you like Doctor Who podcasts, the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance, which is www.doctorwhopodcastalliance.org, has all the best Doctor Who podcasts listed as and when they come out, even Bigger on the Inside. I'm delighted about that, by the way. Of course, iTunes has a facility where you can add a comment, and we have two, or is it three so far? And finally, of course, Twitter, twitter.com/Adam20MegabytePodcast. Please do so. And that's about it, really. And see you again next week, and thank you for listening. Alicia won't say goodbye, she's in the other room sulking because she hasn't got MSN. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.